Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Welcome to our service of Holy Communion. Today is the Sunday when we celebrate Epiphany. Let's take a moment of quiet and we'll prepare ourselves for worship. So we'll start our worship by singing our first hymn, which is hymn number 31, As With Gladness, Men of... So we meet this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Sit or kneel for our prayer. We say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. We say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. And so, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you'd like to sit, we'll hear our readings from Scripture.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 60, beginning to read at verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. In a moment we'll sing our second hymn, but before we do that, I'll read the collect, which I should have read before the readings. So this is the collect for Epiphany Sunday. O God, who by the leading of a star manifested your only Son to the peoples of the earth, mercifully grant that we, who know you now by faith, may at last behold your glory face to face. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So if you'd like to stand, we will sing our second hymn, which is number 44, Blessed Assurance. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. This is the second chapter of Matthew's Gospel, and we begin at verse 1. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So, Lord, would you prepare our hearts not to receive my thoughts, but to hear your voice? Because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do sit down. So, what strange people God chooses to be witnesses and messengers of his coming. They hardly seem to be the best way to announce to the world that salvation has come. The Magi, or three kings, or wise men, whichever you prefer, are an obvious example. But bear with me, we will get to them just a bit later. First, I was wondering, what do you think about the Apostle Paul? As we heard in our reading this morning, Paul explicitly explains that he's in prison. And he's in prison in chains as he writes to the church at Ephesus. So how's he going to get on with his work as a missionary? He's locked in prison, and they are hundreds and hundreds of miles away. Well, you might imagine that the Ephesians should be forgiven if they were to take him with just a small pinch of salt. He sits there in chains, and he has the nerve to tell them that something is being revealed through him that has never been known before. All the great prophets and the men of God who have gone before somehow failed to notice this thing, and yet it's clearly central to the whole plan of God. So do those Ephesians snigger behind their hands and say, if God tells him those kind of secrets, how come he didn't know how to avoid being captured by the authorities? But I think, though, that really underestimates the Ephesians. I suspect that they had more understanding than that. After all, Paul's letter to them clearly suggests that they have already accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ and are familiar with Paul's writings, even if they'd never met him. What was true is that they had received and taken on board the message that God chooses all people to know him and share his mission. More to the point, many of those Ephesians know that they would not be Christians at all if God had not revealed to Paul that the Gentiles too were included in his overall plan of salvation. But if the Ephesians are prepared to believe that step, what about the next step? Paul is saying that now the Christian church includes all Gentiles as well as Jews, it can be used to show the whole world the wisdom of God. show the whole world the wisdom of God. At that point, even if those Ephesians didn't actually laugh out loud, maybe some of us might be tempted to do just that. Perhaps these days we've got rather more used to thinking of the church as a kind of tolerated, slightly senile old relative. We wouldn't dream of getting rid of it, but we really can't expect that much from it. Paul, in this letter to the Ephesians, on the other hand, thinks of the church as the major player in the cosmos. He says that before the coming of the church, the rulers and authorities managed to get control and status for themselves and persuade themselves, and indeed many others, that they, and not God, were in charge of the destiny of the world. Paul, though, is telling the Ephesians, and also us, that we, the church, are God's secret weapon. We're God's secret weapon in the struggle to bring the world to freedom and to worship of the true God. So did Paul get to understand this all because he was clever or somehow worthy? On the contrary, we hear Paul say himself that he was the very least of all the saints, and that at the beginning he even persecuted the church. What made him suitable to be a messenger for God was his knowledge of his own inadequacy and his dependence on God. And that made him a perfect model for us all. So what about those three wise men? Was Paul the same as them or different? Before Christmas, Corinne and I were shopping for Christmas cards, and I saw one that showed the third wise man sitting in an outdoor cafe with a cool drink in front of him, clearly not about to head off to follow any star. He's speaking to the other wise men, mounted on their camels. "I don't think I'll come," he says. "I'm more of an Old Testament man myself." It's a very old clergy joke, but it still makes me smile. What Matthew shows us, though, of course, is that the wise men are part of the hinge that holds the Old and the New Testaments together. They come from the East, the land of origins, and they bring the wisdom of the ancient world with them, laying their treasure before the young prince who's about to take center stage and change absolutely everything. Perhaps, though, they started off with other ideas. Perhaps they believed it was their wisdom and astronomical knowledge that allowed only them to chart and follow that star. They certainly believed that the sign they were witnessing was the stuff of kings, which is why they called in on Herod. Whatever previous misconceptions they may have had, like Paul, they recognized Christ the moment they saw him. In fact, Matthew tells us they were overwhelmed with joy when they finally found Jesus, and they offered him the very best that they had for the Holy Family to use. And so if you ask me, the point of those gifts is not so much the reference to Jesus' kingship, his divinity, and especially perhaps to his death, but more to their value as the highest expressions of reverence that they could each offer. The wise men had nothing better to give. And there's the challenge for us. In terms of time, money, and effort, do we offer God our very best, or merely what we can afford? Do we bring the first fruits of our life, or simply the leftovers? Today, will we let God into the edges of what we do, or into the very center? And this is where Paul and the wise men were exactly the same. None of them held anything back from God. And so, as it was back then, So it is still the same today. Wise men, really wise men, still search for a king and bring to him the best of their lives. Amen. As we sit, let's pray. It's time for our intercessions.
Lord, shine your light upon the dark world. Help us look up from the darkness to see your glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Your Son, Jesus Christ, is revealed to us. His teachings of peace, goodwill, humility, and forgiveness are there for all to see. Lord, help us take heed of these teachings. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the friendships we've enjoyed throughout our lives, rekindled at Christmas and New Year with greetings from far and wide. The joy of friendship is one of your precious gifts. Lord, in your mercy. And thank you for the treasured memories of those we have loved who are no longer with us. The sadness at their loss is mixed with the joy of recollection. They made us, and our every thought and deed reflects the love we shared. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Thank you, Lord, for the quiet dignity with which our royal family is facing the self-righteous attacks on it. Let their faith be a guiding light in this dark period. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, let us in a quiet moment remember those in our community, our church, and those known to us who are suffering illness or loss. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Would you please stand? So before God and each other, we affirm our faith in the words of the Creed as we say together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. So as we stand, we'll sing our third hymn, which is hymn number 457, O Worship the Lord in the Beauty of Holiness.
Thank you.
This morning we will use Eucharistic Prayer 1 on page 5. Eucharistic Prayer 1. Just as the sun shines on all who turn their faces to the light, just as the rain showers upon all who stand on open ground, so God's grace in Christ comes as a blessing to all. Born of the sweat of his suffering love, Christ willingly gave of himself that we might be made free. You who are willing to offer yourselves to God, come to the table in love and faith. Here we find forgiveness, hope, and the promise of eternal life. Because the Lord is here,
the Spirit is
with us. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Sit on you for our prayer. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise. Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is your living word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven. We worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours for ever and ever. Amen. We say together the prayer that Jesus himself taught us as we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy upon us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy upon us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. Bless you, may keep you, make his face to shine on you, be gracious to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. Amen. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. What's your name? Beth. May God bless you. May he keep you. Make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. We continue at the top of page 18 by saying together the prayer after communion. We say together, Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Time now for the peace, so would you please stand?
The peace with you.
And also with you. Share with one another a sign of that peace. So as we stand, we'll sing our closing hymn, which is hymn number 135, God is working his purpose out. So we go to our homes with this blessing. And so may the Father who loves you, the Son who sends you, the Spirit who empowers you, be with you and bless you, wherever you are, whatever you do, whoever you are with, to his praise and glory, this day and always. Amen. So go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.